At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we are back to preview the 12th round of the 2025 Formula One season, the British Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by Timo Albers-Daly. How are you?
Sun is out, English just won a match at Wimbledon, and British Grand Prix is live on Channel 4 this weekend, as God intended, so things are pretty good. Who are you?
I'm doing very well. Had an interesting night out last night with a lot of F1 creators at a little meetup. Caught up with Haschap, nice seeing him for the first time since I bumped into him at the British Grand Prix a few years back. So yeah, all is well in my world, and just about negotiating my way through the trials and tribulations of travelling across France when they decide to all go on strike. But importantly, it is a warm welcome back to Ellie Mae Taylor. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. I'm trying to think the last time I actually did a podcast.
It would have been the last time we had some predictions from you, so I could probably flick back through the race-by-race predictions list and see.
Yeah, I'm doing terribly on that.
Possibly.
So it's Jesse, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you were here for Miami, and then sort of head of Imola just vanished. So we've only really lost you for five races, but yeah.
You've done a Jack Doohan.
Yeah, we dropped you after Miami, I'm afraid.
Maybe there's your world prediction for today. You need to just suddenly Jack Doohan appears and just
he comes back. They realise the error.
He has his Barney the dinosaur man standing in the garden, just.
When it does come to the predictions, though, the guest is currently on 2 after Austria. Ellie Mae is on 6. I'm on 8, and Timo is somehow on 12.
Okay, it's not that bad then. I thought I would be
further off the pace. No,
we're balancing it out with doing well in the fantasy of one team, which has been surprising for me as much as anyone else, to be quite frank.
I don't know what I'm how well I'm doing in that either.
Oh, you did so spectacularly well last weekend, it must be said. You'd be glad that there is a 63rd team with two inactive drivers, because Red Bull Rejects was in P62. Minus 30 points, I think it was, wasn't it, Jesse?
You were in the negative, yeah.
Yeah, well, I have Max Verstappen, Alex Albon, and Carlos Sainz in that one. That checks.
Yeah, lost a lot of points. But anyway, that's usually something we say for our review episodes. We'll dive into the news ahead of this weekend, and we'll kick off with a bit of Formula E news, because Fred Vesti and Jack Crawford will be heading off to Formula E for their rookie tests later this year. They will be driving with Andretti, and Dino Bogdanovic has been announced that he'll be driving for Mahindra in those tests. And again, we always sort of see the FE tests come up and we go, oh, it's interesting seeing the names they're picking. I know Abby Pulling is heading off with Nissan, I think. So yeah, we've got some interesting names emerging for this.
Yeah, it's an interesting bunch and should make some good reading lap time wise once the test is done, because you're getting a bit of an interesting mix now of drivers from, well, F2 mainly, but then you've got a few other people who've been around a little bit, and then people like Pulling, where it's just nice to see them getting the chance to see what they can do, and hopefully one of these women, as we think we've talked about before, actually gets a seat in Formula E next year, and we can try it out a bit more long term.
I have nothing to add on the song.
She's back, but she's still been so busy. She hasn't quite had a chance to read up on the news.
No, I haven't.
Some of this is going to be simply us reading the news to you then.
Yes.
Prepare to learn some interesting things then about Formula One Academy, which launches its driver development guide. Partnered with More Than Equal, who were at the event last night as well, I should add, had a great chat with Sarah Moore. It's a free-for-all guide and is aimed to help sort of educate and give young girls a sort of appropriate approach to the world of motorsports and getting progress up the ladder.
It's a hefty document as well. So whenever they say something about this and they go, oh, you've got a free guide, you're so used to flicking through so many things at this point that you think, it's probably like 10, 20 pages or something like that, and just covers some basic points. It's like thick end of 250 pages, so they really went and did the homework for this, and I'm all for it.
I think it's also good in the respect that it caters for all girls in whatever stage they are within their motorsport journey. So you've got to think that they're going to be sort of girls, maybe sort of what, 8, 9, 10 and plus, that would have started their journey before all of this sort of F1 Academy and More Than Equal were there to help them in their sort of infant stages. And now this can really help them sort of propel their hopefully long-term motorsport career in the future.
Yeah, it's not just sort of a how-to. If you're starting at the beginning, you can pick up this guide from wherever you are and whatever your approach point is. So it'll be interesting to see sort of whether we start to see knock-on effects from this, if we sort of get people that are emerging through from karting that are sort of going, yeah, this has been a really useful guide. It's been sort of the step-by-step process. And yeah, I think it's I need to sort of pick try and get a hold of a copy and give it a read because I'm curious as to
Yeah,
what it's sort of
well,
described.
free on the F1 Academy website, so that should be easy enough for you to find. And you, I just want to add that you always hear a lot from drivers that have had to do it the, I don't want to say the hard way, but definitely the hard way, to get where they are now. You look at Jamie Chadwick as one of the examples of this, and they go, "Oh, I wish I'd had this back when I was starting out." And now, if it's not going to magically solve everything, but it definitely is going to help in that regard. You go, "Well, there is actually something you can read and study and." You know, it's been done and researched properly by people in the know and all that good stuff that you can refer back to. So there's still a lot to do, probably, and definitely, but at least that's a big chunk of something taken care of now in a really neat way. And
It's
it's free.
it's free, and I think it's pretty easy to access, isn't it? It's not one of those things where you're like, oh, free guide, and then it's suddenly you have to like sign in
I
and
just
create
downloads it
an
straight
account.
away
Yeah,
on the Academy website. So it's
it's easy.
could not be easier.
Meaty old PDF, you cannot go wrong. Meanwhile, when it comes to interesting pieces of sort of content being produced, Keanu Reeves is teaming up with Cadillac, and this is sort of following in the footsteps of his Brawn Grand Prix documentary. He'll be following the team from day one in 2026, making a sort of docuseries on their entrance into Formula One, which could be quite interesting because we still know so little about that team, bar sort of who there's going to supply their engines for 2026, and we know like a few technical people attached to it, but otherwise. So this is going to be quite an insightful thing to see sort of quite how their hiring process went and where do you start when you're making a Formula One team these days?
Well, the
Think
Brawn
that's
GP team is documentary as well was really nicely made, and again, we all watched it knowing exactly what happened because A, we were there, and B, we've got a good memory. But C, it just was really nicely made and summed up everything quite well. So, however long this docuseries is, I mean, 4, 6 episodes probably is in the range of it, should give you quite a nice idea regardless, and like you say, satisfy your behind the scenes needs as much as just general audiences, I think. And we're finding it interesting these days when you're creating a lot of motorsport content, how do you cater to try and please as many people as possible? Because that does become ever more difficult, as we will probably talk about at some point later on tonight for a different podcast episode.
yes, yeah, making something for all audiences is a tricky one when you've got very sort of disparate levels of knowledge, let's say.
I think the part that interests me most is that how do you create an F1 team from the ground?
Yeah, where do you start? Who do you go to first? There's got to be what do you do? Do you just sort of ring up Formula One and go, "Hello, I'd like to enter a team, please."
No, you watch a bunch of old racing films and then you curate your own montage, and the rest takes care of itself.
Well, I mean, if you've read any of Gunter Steiner's books, you sort of one person has an idea and they're vaguely associated with motorsports to begin with, and then they just simply start phoning people that used to do that sort of thing 10 years ago and sort of see if they're free and go from there. Also helps if you happen to know Niki Lauda.
Sounds a lot like the book I'm reading.
Which one are you on at the moment?
Rivals.
I'm really hoping it's not the one I'm thinking of.
But
It
it's,
is. It was the one I was thinking
yeah.
of.
Well, see, they're trying to take.
They're starting an F1 team.
N No, they're trying to take over, well, take a franchise away from another TV production. And it's kind of, I guess, they're building their little TV production up from the ground as well. And it's how do they do it, and how they're kind of stealing or sort of the people that know how to do it.
You're to thieves
So
and
I
thieves.
imagine, yeah, so I imagine that's kind of like how you create an F1 team as well. You just steal lots of knowledgeable people.
A bit of thievery never goes awry. The secret ingredient is always crime. Next up on the news is Paul Aron will be stepping into a Formula One car, and he will be replacing Nico Hülkenberg at Sauber for FP1 this weekend. It's a loan type deal, there's nothing permanent to it, and he'll be in Nico's car again in Hungary. This is on account of Gabby's rookie status, meaning they don't really need to offer his car out. So both sort of tests for Nico's car will go to Paul Aron, which sort of begs the question, are Alpine doing this to keep him race fit? It was questions that we raised in the back of the Austria episode, sort of going, are they doing it to keep him race fit just to get him acquainted with the speed and the practice of the cars? Or is it just because he's available and Sauber needed someone? There's a lot of questions. The other important one is Arvid Lindblad, with his fresh new super license, will be hopping into Yuki Tsunoda's Red Bull at,
This is going to be fascinating to see how he does in that,
the
because
super zone.
if he's just above 15th, even if he's 15th, he's going to go, oof. And then Yuki obviously then it has to be absolutely on it for the rest of the weekend. So just when you didn't need any more pressure.
Yeah, there's it's a very interesting dilemma that's going to be thrown up for Yuki off the back of that FP1 session, I think.
Interesting that they've decided to do a Silverstone as well.
It's his
Yes,
home venue. We've got to be nice to the kid.
Grand Prix, yeah. Yeah, there's yeah.
Sure, it's nothing more to it than that. Purely coincidental timing-wise.
Yeah. Just a coincidence. It was the first opportunity that would work, ignoring Austria, which I'm surprised they didn't do, because obviously he's a Red Bull driver, Red Bull's home race at the
Well,
moment.
you see in the group chat they've all got Liam actually said, "Oh, well, I've got this weekend to show up all the other Red Bull drivers, but you can have Silverstone." And
Yeah,
everyone, oh, that's fair enough, mate. That doesn't upset.
the calamities have to happen in turn. You can't have it all happen on one weekend.
It's
So
too
yeah.
chaotic even for Red Bull.
The pressure, either way, the pressure mounts for Yuki in that seat. Speaking of Red Bull, or at least RB, they have some spe a special livery this weekend. Basically, it's their normal one, but it's been drawn on by artist Slawn. I sort of vaguely recognize their work. It's sort of like the big heavy black marker scribbles. It looks all right. And McLaren have a special livery as well, where they smash together some iconic silver of the old in sort of a modern traditional silver and orange livery. They've done it before. They sort of get the chrome bits on it.
I quite like this one. I mean, it would have gone
Bar
nice.
was low.
It's a bar, yeah, maybe. But they've added more chrome, haven't they? And it's more to the old, more in touch with the old sort of livery that did have the chrome on it. I think it's just that it's the bit that doesn't quite sit right is the fact it's now with orange instead of, or papaya instead of red. That's where it kind of doesn't quite work because chrome and papaya don't really go, but chrome and red do.
What they should do really is just have tribute liveries at Monaco, and that's it. And everyone has to do one. So you'd have like Mercedes go back to Braun, Aston Martin have the Jordan yellow, McLaren do full silver, and Ferrari go back to being red.
Oh, Aston Martin in a
In that lovely sort of Jordan Benson Hedges yellow would be
livery.
good. I suppose for Haas, you just go back to the red and grey from like their first season, but.
Although I don't
But
think
that looked quite nice
That was quite a good
when
livery.
they put it back on the car lately, like
I
whichever race it was.
actually don't think the Jordan livery would look good on this
Modern
iteration
car.
of
I'd
car.
like them to try though. It can't, I mean, by definition and by kind of much of the recent examples we've seen, the special liveries for any car haven't been particularly great, so it would be in keeping with tradition in that sense, and at least they'd try to do something. I was just thinking, yeah, Haas going back to a previous livery to as a tribute, like, yeah, definitely block out one year in particular and don't do that one.
Yeah.
But go back a bit further.
Don't go for like the 2021 livery. That not a good livery for Haas.
Don't put in a Fawlty Towers reference, no.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the liveries out of the way. One of the other important things that we're kicking on over the weekend will be the Eddie Jordan tribute. They'll be running the Reynard 873 from 1987, the Jordan 191, which we've already mentioned Jordan and their liveries, the 191 from 1991, the EJ10 from 2000, and the EJ13 from 2003. They'll all be on display. And there'll be the Rolt RT3 from 1983, when Brundle lost to Senna by a single point, and the Reynard 89D from 1989, driven by Jean Alesi to a championship victory into the International F3000 series, while a Jordan 194 and 195 will take part in a series of live demonstrations. Obviously, we've got the junior cars in there because Eddie Jordan's team did start out as a junior series.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Sort of campaigning team, and then found the money to move up to the big league. So it's nice to see that sort of touching tribute again, sort of properly being paid out with a bit of live action.
I was hoping to get more of this year, so I like what they've done here. And I think I read it was organised by the same guy who did the Senna tribute at last year's Silverstone Festival, so the guy knows what he's doing. Now, as I've just talked about, I need Aston Martin to go back to that old Jordan livery at Spa, and I will be happy.
That would be very nice indeed.
Festival as well.
Hmm?
Can they do it for Silverstone Festival as well?
So I don't know. They might do it at Silverstone Festival. I know they've got all 34 championship drivers. They're going to have a car for
that's, the same guy who's doing this, so he's got his hands full regardless. But he's doing good things.
Yes, it's a busy team over at the Silverstone Festival at the moment. They've got some good things going on. But anyway, that sort of concludes our news. We'll go into our fun facts, if we do have any.
Well, you probably both know, of course, that the driver with the most wins is Hamilton, but the constructor with the most wins is Ferrari, and I'll leave that there in terms of what we want to happen this weekend. Fernando Alonso is the only other repeat winner on the grid, 2006 and 2011. But my question for you two is, there have been 12 Brits in history who have won the British Grand Prix. Name them.
Nigel Mansell.
David Hill.
1-2.
Mike Hawthorn never won it?
Nope.
How far are we going back, by the way?
1950 until present day. Kind of the entire history of the sport.
It wasn't won by a Brit in 1950.
Well, no, but that's I'm not going like pre-F1 officially being around.
Jackie Stewart?
3.
Yep.
Oh, the guy who I've got signature of, Jim Clark.
4.
Clark would have done it for Lotus. No, Brabham's Australian.
Button never won it.
No. Hill Senior never won it either. I'm trying to think.
I admit it's taken longer than I thought for the pair of you together.
Yeah, there's going to be some more from like the sort of fifth. Did Moss ever win the British Grand Prix?
That's 5.
You said Mike Hawthorn, didn't you, anyway?
Peter Collins.
Collins is 6.
Yeah. How many was there? 7 all in, did you say?
12.
Well, we've got a long way to go still. We're halfway.
Yeah.
You've got Moss, you've got Collins, you've got Clark, you've got Stewart, you've got Mansell, and you've got Hill. Really amusing.
Coulthard?
7.
Oh, see, I thought of him, but I didn't think he had won a British Grand Prix.
No, no.
Ronnie Herbert.
8.
Yes, Herbert did, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
4 to get.
4 more. 4 more British drivers. Name for 20 quid, name a British driver.
Most people would get at least one of them.
Have we said Lewis? We haven't said Lewis Hamilton, have we?
There's number 9.
I thought you said asides from Lewis Hamilton. Oh,
No, 12 including him.
Oh, 12.
Right, how he was number 9 on that list is beyond me.
Okay, so
right now it might get a little trickier, but there's still
James Hunt.
There's still 10. 2 more.
2 more.
Trying to think through 70 British
Oh, I
F1.
can't think of his name.
That's not going to do you any good.
No, it's not.
Although we should really screenshot that for later, Jessie, and put that on as like the thumbnail for this episode. She's back and she's
Exactly.
already bamboozled.
Already panicking.
Oh my God, what's
Previewing Britain, she's already panicking from what she's going to see on Sunday.
that?
Can
Are
just put you out your
they from
misery.
the eight? No, are they from the 80s?
I didn't put the years down, but one of them could be from, because I did put them in chronological order when I listed them. If I knew we were going to be taking this long, I'd
What's
have
the
put the
gap? So
names.
who are we missing in the gaps then? Who are the drivers like between the two? Because I mean, at
Well,
least they're both
you
around.
had Moss, and then you've got a gap, and then you've got Collins, Clark, Stewart, Hunt, then you've got a gap, and you've got Mansell, Hill, Herbert, Coulthard, and Hamilton.
Okay, so we're sort of talking.
Not that I feel like that's helped either of you particularly.
So someone in the 50s, 60s.
Did you say Peter? We said Peter
Yes.
Collins.
Peter. Yes, you did.
Ireland.
Yeah, Innis Ireland.
Oh, no.
No.
You looked at me as if Ireland is in.
Yeah, does the country of Ireland have they won a British
Well,
Grand
yes,
Prix?
I'd forgotten the driver for a moment, and I was looking at her going, she's really not with it today. Devise her in more gently.
No, I'm coming up short. I'm running out of ideas here.
Right, Jesse's given up. Ellie Mae, would you like to throw in any other suggestions before I just reveal the two names? You've got 5 seconds. Come up with something so that Jesse can have some easy editing here.
Tony Brooks? Is he British? Was he?
11.
Oh.
Oh.
You
So
got
now.
one more to get. When I would have thought out of the two, Brooks would have been the more difficult one.
So what was the. So where. Who is in the. So he was obviously the
Will I
50
tell you?
one. No. Who is in the gap?
Oh, she's. You got Hunt, and you got Mansell, and you've got the man in the middle. Just he looks like he's going to have a thought about 5 seconds too late.
Yeah. Oh. Post Hunt, pre Mansell, British.
It's going to really annoy
Correct.
me if it's the guy that I can't think of his name. Did he
I'd
drive?
imagine that would be the case, yeah.
Are you driving
Especially as it
McLaren?
probably is that person.
You driving
But
McLaren?
at this point, I'm just going to have to tell you, otherwise, I'm giving you too many clues. So
Yeah.
you either know it or you don't.
No, because I can't think of his name.
Yeah, tell us that out of the misery.
John Watson.
Oh, fuck. I was thinking it was William as well. Wait, wasn't John Watson Australian? Or am I thinking of someone else?
I'm probably thinking of someone else, because I'm pretty sure there's a Union Jack next to his name when I wrote it down. Although it would be quite funny if he did turn out to be Australian now just to annoy, but I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, he is British, yeah. Who was I
I
thinking of
think
that
I
was
doubt myself.
Australian then? Yeah.
Mark Webber.
Maybe Mark Webber. Anyway.
And my final bit is just that Hamilton's been on the podium every year since 2014, which is quite an impressive tally to be getting on with.
It's a good statistic, but I think this year there is certainly questions as to whether or not he will make it up to the top of the to at least even the rostrum, let
I
alone
don't care how it happens.
You know
just
why
needs to
it annoyed
happen.
me? You know why it annoyed me that I couldn't think of John Watson? Because he drove the first carbon fiber car in Formula One, and I knew that part, and I couldn't
I
think.
definitely couldn't have given that as a teaser. She'd have known that.
No, because I knew that part, and I could hear his voice, but I just could not think of his name. That's why I said he's a McLaren driver. That will haunt me for the rest of my life.
My job here is done.
I'm surprised
You
there's
got
nothing
me back for Jacques
this.
Villeneuve.
Yeah.
That was nice. That's quite nice revenge, actually. Yeah, thank you for
Yeah.
that.
Anyway, fun facts out of the way, a quick update on my silly season tracker. The latest bit is obviously the sort of growing rumours swirling around Verstappen heading to Mercedes, the fact that there seems to be sort of significant talks apparently happening. Sky Sports Italy broke something late last night saying that talks had happened and contracts were about to be signed. And then everyone went, really? No. And
They're trying to recreate Ferrari and Hamilton from last year, and everyone's going, not quite.
Yeah. So yeah, Sky Sports Italy did have to, I think they made a retraction of that story and did eventually sort of go, nobody saw that, moving on. So yeah, that's the latest big rumor, and it'll be interesting to see if anything is signed over this weekend. Obviously, we mentioned last time out that Cadillac are looking to do some sort of driver interviews this weekend just to see who's available, who's interested. And obviously there's all the rumors around sort of
There's
future.
a left field prediction. Verstappen just say sod it, Cadillac.
Give
That'd
him
be a hell of a coup, wouldn't it?
a shot. That George Russell would be able to breathe a sigh of relief at least. But
Probably in some ways, Cadillac would make sense because then he's going from a team that built a car around him and then he's going to a team that he could possibly have a
make
car
build a car
with.
around him.
Yeah, whilst with Mercedes.
And with a lot of resources.
Yes.
Yeah. An interesting one. But those are all things that we'll wait and see if our predictions come true. Some more predictions are, of course, our race related ones. We'll start with pole position prediction. Timo, I'd like yours to begin with.
Oscar Piastri.
It's a
I
good pick.
just it just feels the done thing.
Yeah.
Plus,
And
he's probably at least a 16th British, so.
yeah, if he's like sort of a 90-second
If
Chinese.
he's, if I was going to say, if he, I was going to say, if he's a little bit Chinese, he's definitely a little bit English,
Yeah.
British, either, both.
Ellie Mae, your prediction.
Lando Norris.
Home hero on the top of the on at the front of the field. He's got the Lando stand, he's got the crowd behind him. We'll see.
Pushing
I'm
the car off the track after each lap.
yeah. He can go and sit in his own stand and weep. I'm gonna go big with this one because I think it's gonna be Hamilton. I think he the car,
He is the driver that gets a second out of the crowd.
yes, yeah, he
He's the
gets
only one that
out of the
does it.
crowd. It's also going to be wet at Silverstone over the weekend, changeable conditions, potentially a greasy track. It's prime Lewis Hamilton territory, and I think we're gonna see his greatness in the Ferrari. It's gonna come at Silverstone, and it's gonna be special. It's gonna be special.
I remember last year when I was previewing this Grand Prix, I just put in a little bit like yourself, one of those Hail Mary Hamilton predictions. And again, it was like, I dare not dream any further than this because I don't want to set myself up for anything. And I'm so glad I didn't because it made Sunday that much better. And that's the thing, if you could do that in a Mercedes last year and that Mercedes, then,
He can
but
do it in a
I'm not
Ferrari.
going to get ahead of ourselves.
He should be able to do it in a Ferrari that's second in the championship, surely. Which then brings into question the podium position predictions. Timo will again go for yours first.
My initial prediction to the podium were that George Russell was going to get his first British Grand Prix win, Piastri in second, and then to keep the dream alive and the streak alive, Hamilton in third on the podium.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting. I like it. It's bold. I think Russell doing something interesting is it's
Well,
sort
it's also
of
the Mercedes, and it did well last year, and it
yeah.
could have gone his way as well if things had plotted out different, like if he hadn't, DNF.
It's also going to be cooler on track, probably, with the rain and whatnot. So that will help the
So I
Mercedes.
was thinking with the car.
Yeah, brings the Mercedes back into a competitive window. Ellie Mae, your podium position predictions.
We're going to have our 13th British Grand Prix
Win.
winner.
But it won't be George Russell like Timo's
But
prediction.
it's not George Russell, no.
Or
It's
John Watson.
Or John Watson, that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. It's going to be Lando Norris, followed by the driver who should have won it in 2021, and I said what I said, Charles Leclerc.
But he didn't.
Followed by the man who always does well at Silverstone, Lewis Hamilton.
It's a fair set of predictions. It would make it Leclerc's what, fifth podium visit this season, which sort of is a bit unbelievable considering how sort of hot and cold that Ferrari's blown. So he's not
It's
done.
as unbelievable as Ferrari being P2 in the constructors and everyone going, how? You had technically one less race than everyone.
Yeah. You were literally DSQ'd from one of them, which was a good result for you as well. I'm gonna go Hamilton converts pole to the win because again, greasy, cold, wet Silverstone, big crowd behind him in the Ferrari. He could.
Hamilton domination could bore fans.
He copes under pressure, does Hamilton, and I think that there is a big amount of pressure on him. He's able to convert it
don't
into
think he copes
performance.
under pressure. He just absorbs it and just fires it back
Oh,
out at the
yeah.
throwers behind him and goes, oh, it's going to give you a bunch of that and disappear up the road a bit.
Yeah, as long as no one Joshua pierces into him, he'll be fine.
Well,
Spoiler
look at second place.
alert. Yeah, Max Verstappen, I think, is going to come second because again, he's a demon when it comes to the wet and greasy conditions, and I think at that point the Red Bull might actually make sense for a brief
So,
moment.
do we think that Verstappen in that Red Bull, considering it's not the best Red Bull there's ever been in Hamilton, but with Ferrari as his team, is quite an even match?
Yeah, they're both fighting demons, so it's going to be interesting to see who can fight their demons and fight their way around the circuit best.
I think we've seen that story before.
Yeah.
Not sure I like it.
Well, it's been a few years since so there's a sequel maybe coming.
Yeah, Formula Two.
We can't afford to do what Hollywood does and wait 30 years for it. We're not going to be around by then. We've got to do this while we still can.
And then P3, George Russell. I think he's going to sort of just sneak something in. There's going to be a bit of chaos, and he's very much the driver that sort of does nothing podium. So this is going to be another
Always
instance
there.
of that. Yeah,
The
always there.
Mercedes of Charles Leclerc, basically.
Yes, yeah. Then we get to fastest laps. Timo, yours.
I'm happy to be wrong considering who you two have put down, but I just think it'll be Piastri.
It's a fair shout. Ellie Mae, would you like to announce ours?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, it's a home race, and it's going to be him.
And it's Lewis Hamilton.
There's no further argument to it. Meanwhile, wild predictions. Timo, you're playing two hands at once with this.
Yeah, because I feel like if this comes true, I obviously don't get 2 points potentially for my podium prediction normal. But I don't mind that trade off because of the pure relation that this will bring. So my world prediction is Lewis Hamilton wins the British Grand Prix.
Interesting. I think, you'll lose points but gain 1 point, so it's zero
And
sum.
I'll win in life. Yeah, I feel like that'll be I won't care about the rest of it at that point.
Ellie Mae, your wild prediction.
I've changed it last minute.
Yeah, the gap empty.
Yes.
John Watson's going to wave the checkered flag at the end of the Grand
Yes.
Prix.
The man's voice is haunting me now. I can. I. Yeah. Lewis Hamilton gets a podium position with 5 laps to go.
Okay, so
He will move in one of the podiums within
he,
5 laps.
with 5 laps to go, he gets into the top three.
But he's got to stay there, or what if he loses it?
No, he has to get into the top three and stay within the and get a podium.
Last 5 laps. Okay, so I'm going to have to look back at like sort of a position tracker to make sure this happens. Well, actually, no, I'll be at home by this point
You
to
can
watch
just w watch it back on Channel 4 live and just pause it at all the right places because you'll be just totally sorted that way anyway.
Or we'll just take a picture. Or it will definitely be on the highlights anyway if Lewis Hamilton overtakes.
Makes an overtake into the podiums, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the newspaper headlines Sunday evening for Monday morning. At least one of them will say Hamilton into podium position in last 5 laps.
Yes.
If
Hopefully
that happens.
that detail will be included on the headlines. Meanwhile, I think Colapinto top eight. I don't think
Has Flavio phoned you up and paid you some money?
I wouldn't say no if he decided to, but as it stands, I have not been bribed by Flavio Briatore to make that prediction. I just think it's going to be a bit of a sketchy race, and somehow Alpine is going to sort of come out of it smelling like roses with at least what 4 points.
I think they'll be
Go
in.
ahead.
I think Sauber will get their
Podium.
will be in the points as well. That was going to be my wild prediction.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, you won't have known this if you've not been listening to us, anyway, but the last three races, Sauber have scored more points than Red Bull.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, of
Let
course
that sink in.
Of course they have, because of, well, last race, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
even
talk about it.
before that, it was close. But there we go. Those are our predictions for the British Grand Prix. That brings us nicely to the end of this episode of the Undercut Podcast. We'll be back next week for a review of the British Grand Prix. And somewhere along the way, we will also release a review of the new Formula One film. I think we're going to go and record that once we've finished on this one. In the meantime, though, Timo, where can you be found?
I have an article out this week on Chloe Chambers asking if she can be the F1 Academy champion this year over on the Punnett Chronicle. So go and check that out.
Maybe. Excellent. Ellie Mae, in the meantime, where can the people find you?
I'm gonna probably retire and live in a dark room over the fact I couldn't get John Watson's name.
But certainly not at Le Mans Classic. And if you would like to find me, you can actually find me at Le Mans Classic, certainly Friday, Saturday, where I will be
I've
soaking
never wanted John Watson to be at an event you're at more.
up. So I can also personally be haunted by John Watson.
Well, no, just so that you can go, you'll never guess.
You'll never guess. You can my
This massive fan of yours.
podcast.
Well, don't worry, because if whenever we go to a Masters F1 event, one of the MP41 races.
And it
So
still says John Watson on the side.
I'll be haunted. Every time I see that car now.
Every time it comes around, every time it comes past the past you on the lap, you're like, ooh, exciting.
And I used to have so much joy with John Watson in that car, with my little fun facts about John Watson, and just it's ruined. My life's just ruined.
Still got it, Jesse. I still got it.
It's been one podcast.
Barely been one podcast, it's been like 40 minutes, and he's already obliterated your life.
Yep.
Anyway, that is all we've got
Not
time
that
for.
bombshell.
On that bombshell, it is time to end. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back very soon.